God bless the faithful and shalom to all who find rest of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for each and every one of you. We have so much to be thankful for as we've been called to light by the message of a risen Lord. And it's truly amazing. No matter how much we know that Jesus is risen, no matter how often we hear it, we read of it, we speak of it, it's so amazing that God has shared his life with us, as all our faith is based upon that which the world at large says is the most impossible thing, that one would rise up from the dead. But our hope, as you know, is based upon that. Even Paul the Apostle acknowledged it so, for he said, if Christ is not risen, is not raised up, well then your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins. So God gave us a promise that rests upon the fact that there simply are no impossibilities in Christ. We have limits, physical limits in our world. We can only run so fast. We can only jump so high. But in Christ, nothing's impossible. Impossibility just does not exist. But eternity, now that does exist. And for this week, we're sharing our faith together by focusing on thoughts of eternal words, which would be the second part, if you care to number them. We'll speak on eternal words. As God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us words that are, they've never began. They have a never-ending quality to them. Words of life that puts things in such a way that we can understand them while seeking and then finding greater thoughts that are laid up in store, pointing toward the kingdom which is to come. As such matters continually bless us. And I have an example of one of the greatest moments of realization ever coming up here shortly. It'll be in Psalm 73, which is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. In a book of favorites, it just stands out and speaks to me, where eternal thoughts are suddenly arrived, and I believe they'll speak to you also. In the simplicity that God always speaks to us in, as he has a patience with our creation. For God knows that we're made from the dust of the ground. He knows that we're just mere bones and flesh. He knows that the seeking comes first and then the finding. And I'd like to think that on my last day on this earth, that I can learn something more by God's revealing power. And then, like the song says, then I'll fly away, oh glory. And the whole church is based upon that, as told to Peter when the master said, upon this rock will I build my church. The fact that God reveals that all the powers and the gates of hell, they'll not prevail against that. And that's a promise. And it's an eternal promise. As God does not make temporary promises, his sayings are always forever. They have life within them. So his revealing nature is the rock of revelation. And the Lord did not base his church upon the man Peter himself. For the apostle, he had flaws, certainly. They're well documented in Scripture. But this he had, that he loved the Lord with all his heart and was one who had character and conscience. And thus, God could reveal things to him. So, the fact that God has a revealing nature that shows us the ways of life, that becomes the rock of ages, the rock of revelation that builds up the church, which delivers the keys to the kingdom, which are contained in Acts 2:38, the quality of repentance, and then identification by baptism in Jesus' name. Those are your keys. Don't leave home without your keys. Baptism and repentance. Peter rejoiced in those things, and they're very simple. It's very direct, but firmly founded in Scripture and bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And we have fullness of joy in our spirit when we rest in God's promises, because those promises, they go from everlasting to everlasting. As put by Moses, the psalmist prophet, in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2, in the knowing that the Lord is our dwelling place in all generations, literally from ever there was, a God without physical boundaries. But with all that being true, it's wonderful how the basics of Christianity can be understood in just a brief moment. For salvation, it comes from belief in the heart, and then outward confession of Jesus' name. And anyone can understand that. A child can see it. By the faith that we all must have in order to enter in. But it takes a lifetime to contemplate the thoughts of the eternal God. So vast is his wisdom and knowledge. But thank the Lord we have that lifetime, an eternal lifetime, to learn of him. But yet the realization of that fact can come to one just as long as it takes to read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which takes less than a minute there in the prayer of salvation and the formula of salvation contained therein. So truly, the scriptures come to pass that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. For just in a few seconds, you can learn a lifetime of wisdom. The Word of God has such depth to it, and it never stops working upon the soul of the believer. Like God Himself, the Word has no limits. Now, as promised, let's look at Psalms chapter 73, and this is the confession of one Asaph, the great poet, singer of the early days of the kings of Israel, who helped establish the praise of temple worship and was inspired to write many of the surrounding prayer songs. For these scriptures that we read, they are prayers set to music. And certainly a read of the entire psalm is good, and the Lord will bless you for it. But of course, we'll have to be brief here, but I certainly recommend taking in the whole chapter, the whole prayer song in total. But in the first verse, Asaph recognizes the goodness of God. But then in verse 2, he confesses that he was personally almost gone when he observed the prosperity of the wicked. Now, have you ever felt that way? How can such a thing be? How can the wicked prosper? Where's the knowledge of the Most High? As all of this is contained within Psalms chapter 73. But then he got to the place where God could deal with him. Sometimes the Lord will use even the depths of despair to bring you to a moment of greater understanding. And it's all for your own good. It all works together to those who love the Lord and hear the calling of his purpose. And Asaph will make, he'll make a breakthrough. He broke into eternity. As Brother Branham liked to call it. So of all that he was afflicted by, we come to verse 16 here in Psalms chapter 73. And we read from verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Well, when you want to know why bad things happen to good people, you go to the book of Job and all the supporting scriptures throughout the whole of the work. But when you want to know why good things sometimes happen to bad people, Psalm 73, that's a good place to start, as well as the words that Jesus spoke in pointing out that when God sends down his rain from heaven, the first heaven of our atmosphere, the rain falls on the unjust and the sinner as well as upon the saint. There's an eternalness in all that God does, and there's purpose in it. It all serves a greater end. And here Asaph got into the sanctuary, the place of assembling together to worship and to be strengthened by others of like-minded faith. He got to the place where faith is spoken. All of a sudden it hit him. He started to think eternally. And understanding came upon him, just rushing over him. Just you can feel it through the scripture. It just came rushing over him like a flood. So having then received enlightenment, he pours out the abundance of his heart, one of the greatest confessions ever found in scripture. It was like his awaking from a dream, for he'd been so consumed by temporary things, but now his eyes were open. He must have felt like Adam did at the first time that Adam became self-aware, opened up his eyes. You ever wonder what that first moment for Adam was like? When the breath of life entered into him and he became the first living soul, the first of his kind. When eternal thoughts take hold, then you understand that the wicked are brought to desolation in a moment. A moment, of course, that's a measure of time. But eternity knows no measure of time, and Asaph, suddenly, he comes to that. And of course, it should always be noted that God takes no pleasure in the destruction or the death of the wicked. He would that all would come to him for life, and that more abundantly in his name. But of course, what's left for the unrepentant soul, except judgment? So Asaph records it by writing here for all to see, for all to examine, his very personal confession that shows his fault, shows it right up to this very day and beyond, to as many generations that dwell upon the face of the earth, and even goes this far, he turns it into a song of praise, as the darkness of his soul has now become transformed into glorious light by praise. So foolish was I, he said, so ashamed of himself and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. But then when he admitted that, he realized in verse 23 and 24, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Now this question, when does continually stop? It never does it? It's eternal. It's an eternal thought. What mercy is shown here? You're still with me. Despite my thoughts, when I realize greater things, I realize you're still with me on an eternal basis. That's the knowledge he received. And what do we need to overcome this day and age that we live in? We need knowledge of the spiritual forever kind, to be guided with counsel from above. For, as you all know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, every eternal word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word is eternal because it is the way. And that phrase, the way, that's eternal by nature, and that's what I want to finish this speaking with in St. John chapter 14. We as Christians, we identify our lives with Christ as followers, and thus the term Christians, as we don't want or need any denominational name. Our identity is in Christ. So when asked of their faith, you know how it goes. Many will say, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic. But how many have the first thought on their mind as being identified with Christ? I'm identified with the life of Jesus. Well, there's fewer of those than there should be. There should be more. But in the first generation church, the believers of Jesus were often labeled as people of this or that way, in an insulting manner, in scorn. It was at Antioch men first began to be called Christians, Acts 11:26. They were called Christians there, but at the first they were called people of this or that way in terms of contempt. But you know something? There's life eternal in the way, because a way to approach life, it's not physical. It has no material substance. It's a method of thought and of preparation of heart and mind. And God is the essence of pure thought. So from St. John chapter 14, and let's read from verse 5, which says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? For Jesus said, you know the way, in verse 4. And then in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we are people of the way after all, aren't we? Because our life is in Christ. It's an honor, continually, on an eternal basis. When the world was hurling insults at those whose hope was in the resurrection, without even knowing it, they were using eternal words that will testify against themselves in the day of judgment. Jesus was the way, even as he was the Spirit of truth. And we'll take more note of that tomorrow, Lord willing, in the Spirit of truth, because truth is an eternal word. It shows here in the way, the truth, and the life, as life is an eternal word in Jesus' name. But these are things that come from above as we concentrate on the godly phrase of eternal words, the way, as we close this devotional time. There are opposite ways, but those are temporary. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in actuality it's death. Those things will pass away, but the way that was offered to the disciples has truth and life to it, eternal things. And those ways will lead us till we reach the peaceful shore. So stay on the pathway, and the Lord be your strength, everyone. God bless you.